This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Oh, we can't wait for tonight. It's late, but 9 p.m. Eastern tonight, Knicks and Sixers, we're dying to see the fan reaction. All the free giveaways to entice Philly fans to go into that building tonight to cheer for their hometown Sixers. We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hello, Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you. CeCe back with us tomorrow. Smalls, you described Pat Costello, as our producer, as a crusty veteran. But the word crusty is a fascinating word to use. But you immediately, I know, went to the place of baseball and the association with the word crusty and baseball. So explain to the world, when you think of the word crusty, why baseball comes up and the type of players historically that come up when you think crusty.
Yeah, I think every clubhouse needs a crusty old vet. And by that, that usually describes a starting pitcher, a workhorse who's been there, done that, and doesn't take any BS from anybody. He's not afraid to, first of all, he rarely smiles. You're not going to get a smile from him, especially on a day that he's pitching. He's going to come in, he's going to dominate, he's going to give you a solid outing, and he's probably going to yell at somebody in the process. This is a guy that when he gets to the clubhouse is not afraid to check a young player, even if they're a big up-and-coming superstar. It doesn't matter. He's a crusty old vet, and you need sandpaper in your clubhouse and in your locker room, and that's what Pat Costello is. He's a crusty old vet, and he brings the sandpaper every day. And by the way, the rest of the team usually galvanizes around that crusty old vet. They appreciate that the Pat Costellos of the world can come in and check a star like Nuno. He's not afraid to turn to Nuno, who is the star of the show, and say, hey, I don't appreciate what you did. I don't agree with what you're saying. And that's why Pat is a glue guy.
Okay, forget Pat as a glue guy. That leave that to the side, because that's just not true. Jovante is the glue guy. Let's be clear on this. But this is
Jovante, also a glue guy, but a different kind of glue guy.
Now I just want to list off people that are crusty old vets, because you know who the number one person I'm thinking of is?
John Lackey.
No. Obviously, that's the number one person you're thinking of. The number one person I think of when you say crusty old vet is actually not a real person. It's the veteran pitcher in Major League. What Harris is, I think, the last name of the guy. The guy who uses Vaseline on the ball to pitch.
I'm sorry, he uses what?
Doesn't he use the Vaseline on the ball to pitch?
Vaseline?
Well, how do you say that?
Vaseline?
What did I say?
Vaseline?
I'm actually with Evan on this one.
You use it, you pronounce it with a Z?
Yeah, Vaseline.
Vaseline?
I didn't know. Wait, again, how did you just pronounce it? I want to make sure I understand this.
Vaseline.
Vaseline. You know what, Pat? She's right, because there's no Z in it.
There's no Z in it.
I guess it's just a Northeast way of saying Vaseline. I say Vaseline.
Vaseline.
You're right.
Do you put on Vaseline in Florida?
What? Steve Traxel, human rain delay. Crusty old vet? Is he a crusty old vet?
Yeah, I could see it. Totally.
Who else fits in that crusty old vet category?
Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson's too good. You can't be that good.
You can absolutely be an ace and a crusty old vet.
No,
yes,
you cannot. Absolutely not.
Yes, you can.
You need to be a fourth starter to be a crusty old vet.
No,
you
not
You can't
even.
Be a playoff starter if you're a crusty old vet. No way.
Yes, you can.
No
100%.
Way. No way.
Like Jamie Moyer.
Jamie Moyer, perfect. Fourth starter. You cannot be in a playoff rotation and be described as a crusty old vet. Mark Redman, pitcher for the
what
Marlins back in the day.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You want a crusty old vet to be in the playoff rotation.
No.
Maybe it's not your ace, but it could definitely be the game two pitcher.
No.
Yes.
Well, game two pitcher's Andy Pettit. Andy Pettit, everybody knows the game two pitcher. That's your game two pitcher.
You're so off on this.
You could absolutely not be more wrong.
A crusty old vet to be in your rotation for the playoffs.
No.
Was like Juwan Howard that for the Heat, the crusty old vet?
Okay, stop making I don't even want to make it about the Heat as much as you
do.
Well,
no, I'm just asking. Like, I'm just using crusty old vet.
No, he's just like a on his retirement tour going to the Heat.
Like
basically.
Dikembe Mutombo with the Rockets?
No, I actually think it's sports specific. I think crusty old vet is actually only baseball and only a pitcher.
Okay, so I can buy that you can't be the best pitcher in the rotation to get that moniker.
Yes.
Even if you have the personality traits, I could give you that. I cannot give you that the crusty old vet is not a playoff guy, because he's absolutely a guy that you want in your playoff rotation. This is not the fifth starter. It's a guy who's been around the block, and you want him. You want a guy with that seasoning that can carry you through the playoffs. Very important.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. When you hear the terminology crusty old vet, who in sports comes to mind? Because that is a term that Smalls has brought up today, and we did both go to the same sport and the same position, but we went to a different ranking amongst those. We both went to baseball, and we both went to pitcher, but I just don't buy that it could be a top-end rotation guy. It's a fourth starter who is actually your long reliever in the playoffs.
No,
it is.
Not even.
It's
not
definitely
even.
That. It is. I'm telling you, Smalls. I'm telling you it's that. Patrick in North Carolina, 99.9, the Fan in Raleigh. Shout out to that wonderful station. Was on with Adam Gold there the other day. What's up, Patrick?
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in on the Vaseline. I was raised in Rochester, New York, and transplanted down here. It's definitely Vaseline. So just wanted to put that out there. But I do agree with you, Evan. The blue guy, I think of more of like a fourth string pitcher or something like that. Not top line guy.
Hmm. Yeah, it's got to be that. Like, I'll give you, and thank you for the phone call. Andrew ASB1216 tweets at Evco Radio, at M Smallman, at Unsports ESPN. Crusty old vet, Charlie Huff. That's a great one. Knuckleballer back in the day. I went to Marlins fantasy camp once where Charlie Huff actually picked me second overall in a draft at a fantasy camp. I hit six batters in one inning as a pitcher.
You hit six batters in one inning and you threw eight interceptions in one game? You are just in the record books, Evan.
One of them was
you
a girl.
You stay
anyway,
in the record books. One of them was a girl.
What? Who said that? Roy in Ohio, listening on 100.7 The Ticket. What's up, Roy?
Morning, you guys. You guys rock my morning every day. Evan, I agree and disagree with you.
Okay.
It can be a superstar-type caliber guy, but it fits your criteria because never made the playoffs. This being, and it follows kind of along the lines of the last caller, Charlie Huff, Gaylord Perry. You talk Grizzly. That dude...
Yeah, I mean, people are going with the knuckleballer scuffing the ball. That's another crusty old vet. We're getting a bunch of tweets on this. Why do the Cardinals have so many? Somebody tweeted, Andrew tweeted at
you. Because we know how important they are.
Bob Tewksbury. That was a good one back in the day. Bob Tewksbury, crusty old vet. Lance Lynn, I see a tweet. Crusty
Lance
old vet.
Lynn, absolutely. Lance Lynn is the perfect. He is the personification of a crusty old vet on the Cardinals rotation. And if they were to make the playoffs, Evan, not likely, that guy would be in the playoff rotation.
So maybe he's just crusty and not a crusty old vet. Elliot in Florida.
Oh, jeez.
Well, that's like Pat on ESPN 690 in Florida. What's up, Elliot?
All right. I 100% agree with Smalls. It doesn't have to be the person in the back of the rotation. But I disagree that it's only baseball, and I am going to go to the Miami Heat because I am a lifer Heat, and you can't say crusty old vet without saying Udonis Haslam. Period.
I'm getting a lot of tweets on that. The only thing
really?
Is, Smalls, what's the ruling on this? You are the queen of all crusty old vet monikers here.
Thank you.
What is the ruling when you have a guy like UD who was a starter on three title teams? Can you be the crusty old vet?
Well, let me adjust my crown here since I'm the queen of the crusty old vets, as you said.
No,
which is
I said
not
the queen
a title
of, no,
I expected.
No. I said queen of the crusty old vet moniker, not
sure.
Actually queen of the crusty old vets.
Well, I don't think there's many queens in the crusty old vet circle, so therefore, by default, I'm probably one. So I just don't think we would ever describe a basketball player that way, even if he fits the moniker.
I agree.
I just think it's so baseball specific. Like in the NFL, when we talk about what would be a crusty old vet, we would just say a veteran presence or a veteran player. We don't say a crusty old vet.
You're so right about that. The crusty is just associated with baseball. It actually, Smalls could not be more right in my eyes. It absolutely feels uncomfortable to say it about any other sport but baseball.
Like, it feels disrespectful almost to say that about UD, even though you could totally make the case that he is and has been a crusty old vet. But it feels like an endearing thing to say about a baseball player and a diss to say about athletes in other sports.
I feel like Jason Kelsey was that for the Eagles, though.
That's an interesting one. But he was he ever not like elite? Like even up until last year, wasn't he still one of the best centers in all of football, Pat?
Yeah, but you can be good and be a crusty old vet.
No. Yeah, it's kind of the point. You have to be a certain amount of good to be a crusty like, old vet.
Justin Verlander is good, weight. But also
Justin
a crusty
Verlander
old vet.
Justin Verlander is not a crusty old vet.
He's a crusty old vet.
He's old and a veteran. He's not a crusty old vet. Justin Verlander is still in a big game. You want him pitching. That's not a crusty old vet. Crusty old vet is you have to be a fourth starter or worse
no,
in my eyes.
Wrong.
And Smalls, I'll give you one other thing. I think you have to have a little belly. I think there has to be a little belly hanging over the belt if you're a crusty old vet.
So it's like Bartolo too far?
Bartolo at the back end of his career. Bartolo Colon,
no,
you can make
know.
The argument.
No, you cannot. You cannot have the name Big Sexy and also be a crusty old vet. Sorry. Those are just the rules.
Okay. All right. I'm getting there's so many people
so
tweeting
what about
this.
David Wells?
He may have been too good, Nuno. I mean, like, he was really good in his prime.
Could you be a crusty old vet, like, when you're young, though? Because, like, Pat's young, but he's...
He feels...
No, yeah.
That's
he's
what
young,
I'm saying.
But he's seasoned. He's not young in this
like,
game.
He's the youngest...
In this radio game, he's a crusty old vet.
Yeah, but he's, like, the youngest one in this room, and he's such a crusty old vet.
But he's been in this game for how many years, Pat? How many years have you been working in media?
Well, I've been at ESPN for almost 7.
Okay, so that is the lifespan of a lot of people's professional athletic careers. So at this point, 7 years in, he could absolutely be a crusty old vet.
Yeah, I'd have like a solid MLB pension at this point.
Yeah, there you go.
Pat, how's the stomach to belt ratio? A little bit over or under? Because that matters.
It's over.
Okay, good. No, so you know what? You're making a good case, Pat. Nuno may be right. Glenn in Illinois on ESPNU. What's up, Glenn?
Not much. I got one for you, Evan. I got one for Smallman.
Okay.
Got one for you, Necro Brothers.
The Necro Brothers, definitely crusty old vets, knuckleballers. They looked 100 when they were in their prime, the Necro Brothers, Joe and Phil Necro. I mean, you're right about that one.
I got one for Michelle, and it's straight from St. Louis, Al Hrabowski.
Oh, Glenn, perfection. Al Hrabowski is absolutely a crusty old vet. That is a good one, Glenn, for sure.
All right, one more here. And then Andrea Carter, Snake Mother, will join us in a little bit. Justin in Virginia, listening on 1360 AM in Virginia. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys, how we doing?
Morning.
Hey, I just wanted to throw one out here. It's kind of random, but I was thinking John Rocker, the pitcher for the Braves.
Yeah, no,
back
no.
In the day.
Closer. I don't think he's crusty old vet, Smalls. I don't like the closer as a crusty old vet. I don't think it fits.
I think he can fit. It depends on circumstances and how long the tenure has been with a certain organization, because obviously starters usually command more of a presence than back of the bullpen guys, even closers. But I think it's more about the bark to positivity ratio. Like a crusty old vet has to yell at people. They have to not smile. They have to have a generally displeasing demeanor. And I guess that could really fit any position.
But like Jonathan Papelbon?
No, way too good. Way too good. There's like a level to this. Jonathan Papelbon was a big time player.
Like I need my crusty old vet to have yelled at someone and I have needed to be caught on camera. I need to be able to look back and say, oh yeah, remember when Pat Costello screamed at Evan Cohen because he dropped that fly ball? That's a crusty old vet behavior.
Why do I have to be the one that drops the fly ball? Why couldn't Pat be the one?
Well, didn't you have, how many people did you have hit by pitch and how many interceptions did you throw, Evan? It just seems more like
Andrea Carter will join us next. We're on Sportsmanlike presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Smalls, you know, we love having our next guest in studio. She is a snake mom. She is an ESPN basketball analyst, women's college basketball, WNBA, NBA. She does it all. It is Andrea Carter joining us here on Unsportsmanlike. All right, we have had a weird conversation just now. I'm going to ask you quickly, and then we can move on from this. Here we go.
You always, I never know what's coming when I sit in this chair. Can we talk about my child first?
Nothing. Go ahead.
He's doing great. That's all I needed to get off my chest.
Well, yesterday we had a big moment here that we learned that Andrea, when she was flying in from her home in Atlanta that she flew in, but she had a delayed flight, or she had to delay her flight because her snake, her pet snake that she's had for 11 years named Nothing, had some heating issues in your home.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We've been taken care of and everything's good.
He is fine. Someone went to check on him. He's doing well. He's all fine. Yes, he's good. He's doing fine. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Okay, we've been Smalls brought up the term crusty old vet, which is a fun term to like just throw out there. Yep. When you hear that term, who in sports do you think of as a crusty old vet?
Crusty old vet?
Yeah.
I don't like to call anybody crusty.
Well, Smalls did.
Crusty old vet,
it's
like
a baseball thing,
yeah.
Andrea.
It's a baseball thing?
Yeah, see, I said in baseball, it's viewed as a term of endearment to say a guy's a crusty old vet. That means he's intense, he's been around, he's got that sandpaper. But it almost feels like a diss to say it to someone in another sport.
Yeah, I was going to say in basketball, if you call it a crusty old vet, like it's not. I don't think that's good. Like you can be called a vet, you can be called the vet. OG, like there are a lot of
that's
better
a good one.
Ways
OG is where people go in basketball.
Thank
that
you.
Is the equivalent.
Like Al Horford, OG.
That's a good point. Yeah, because if you called him a crusty old vet, it's like, wait a minute, I'm starting in the playoffs for the number one seed.
Yeah, OG.
OG. All right, you know what? We have the terminology. OG is equivalent to crusty old vet. Mm-hmm. All right, let's have you weigh in on this Sixers-Knicks thing. We've been talking about it a ton today.
Okay.
The Sixers go out there and buy 2,000 tickets for first responders. Nice gesture. Nobody's arguing that part of it. Are you surprised that they needed to based on what you assumed maybe the sports fan in Philadelphia was like?
Well, no, only because the cities are so close. Like, there could be first responders that get these tickets and are actually Knicks fans. So, I think because the cities are close. If it was a team that was further away that they were having to do this for, then I would be alarmed and disappointed in the Philly fan base. But because the cities are so close to each other and you literally have Knicks fans that are happy about this team having potential to have success in the playoffs, like it's a big moment for the Knicks fans. So I'm not surprised. I actually like the gesture and I like Philly trying to ensure that the arena is not going to chant MVP when Jalen Brunson goes to the free throw line. So I like the act on all fronts. I'm not as disappointed as some people that are like, this shouldn't have been necessary in the great city of Philadelphia. New York's right down the street.
Andre, we talked about what's going to happen in the stands. Let's talk about what we think is going to happen on the court. What do you need to see from Philly in order for them to even up this series?
Well, Joel Embiid has to have a cleaner offensive game. I don't know if he could struggle more offensively. 9 turnovers, the efficiency numbers going down. I think his efficiency is going to go up. If you're a 76ers fan, you hope he doesn't have a migraine. I don't know how much better his knee's going to be, but he didn't participate in whatever his game day routine is during the day because of a migraine in the morning of the game. So you hope he's feeling better and can operate with a more efficient fashion and take care of the ball. I think Tyrese Maxey has to come out and start fast. Start as the aggressor, set the tone. When you were watching that game, I know everybody looked tired at times. Tyrese Maxey looked the most fresh at the end of that game than anyone else on the floor. Like, I don't know what you want to blame it on, but he looked the freshest to me. So he has to keep that same energy and start the game with an aggressive mindset. That also takes some pressure off of Joel Embiid. Now the Knicks have to adjust and try to slow down Maxey, and then you open things up for Joel Embiid. So I think Tyrese Maxey has to come out, start aggressive. And then honestly, if you're the other guys, keep doing what you're doing. Like, I thought Batum played great defense. I thought Harris was played strong.
Huge
he finished
free
on the
late.
Inside. Kelly Oubre attacking, finishing on the inside through contact. So I think Maxey's aggression and then Joel Embiid taking care of the ball. Those are the two things. Everyone else stay solid.
Andrea, are the Clippers done?
Yeah, the Clippers. It's so hard, you know, to watch them lose in that fashion at home. You're just like, what is going on? Like, that's the most disappointing factor to me, to not have the energy to get that win. But they're so up and down. I do believe that they're done. I think the Mavs are going to win the series. I felt that way early on. It's hard, though, because the Clippers have so much talent. They shouldn't be done.
I picked them to win the title. I look terrible right now.
If they were healthy, though,
to your point.
Yeah.
I mean, that team is loaded if healthy.
The team's loaded.
And I don't know how they operate moving forward because Paul George is a free agent, James Harden's a free agent, Russell Westbrook's a free agent,
yeah.
And Kawhi's the one that they signed, and they have a new building with a million bathrooms that they want to promote.
Yeah.
No, seriously, they promote the amount of bathrooms they have in that building. You
and
need
the fan
to
section,
be in there.
Right? Isn't it going to be the fan?
Like the college
wall?
Fan section kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, well, they got
yeah, but I'm not sure where they go from here, but it is disappointing, disheartening, because to me, I was so excited for Kawhi and Paul George. Like, I was so excited for those two players coming together. They talked about how it was destiny. They were almost Pacers together. They were really excited for the opportunity. And then to just see it not pan out, for mostly because of injuries, just a disappointing moment for the Clippers, because I know they felt like they had gold. And essentially, they did.
Yes.
It just, I don't know, stayed buried in the ground.
Wow, good reference.
Thanks.
Andre, let's talk about Boston, Miami. I will let the Miami version of this go to Heat Culture President Evan Cohen. I want to ask you about the Celtics. It feels like championship or bust for them this season. We expect them to be in the NBA Finals. Did you learn anything from the Boston Celtics in this series? See anything that could be a vulnerability or a positive in their direction? Any observations of Boston?
Boston looked dominant. They looked dominant without Porzingis, obviously, in last night's game. It's a really hard judge because the Heat were just depleted. Like, the Heat didn't really have anything to offer in terms of resistance. But I think Boston, for me, I believe they can make it to the finals without Kristaps Porzingis. I do not think they can beat the top three teams in the West without Kristaps Porzingis in a seven-game series. I know they've won without him. I know they've won singular games without him. They've won plenty of them without him. But in a series with the rotations and the pressure it'll put on the Celtics, especially with their interior presence, without Kristaps Porzingis, I don't think they win a final series. He has to be on the floor.
That's a really interesting point, because you project them to the finals, but then you just said the top three. So we know Denver, right? That's fine. Minnesota, the way they're built, Ant-Man's amazing, but they also have two bigs.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma City. So you think Oklahoma City against Boston in a hypothetical finals without Porzingis, you go Oklahoma City?
I would still go Oklahoma City. I do. I like what OKC's bringing. I don't think Oklahoma City will be the team to make it out, but I do like Oklahoma City in a seven-game series without Kristaps Porzingis.
Wow. Andrea Carter is phenomenal. We know that. She has nothing. Her snake that she always updates us on. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, nothing is okay.
Yeah, he's doing well. He's doing well.
Do we ever think about getting another snake?
I have thought about it, but I spent so much time with him the first 8 years of his life when I wasn't doing this job that I could really get him to be the loving boy that he is. And I think any other snake wouldn't have that attention.
So you think
me?
The only child is better than having a second child?
Yeah. And snakes aren't buddies. So, like, it's not like he's going to have a friend. He doesn't need anybody else. Like, they're not, they don't.
Like, would they fight and eat each other? Like, what would happen?
Snakes do fight. You should look it up on YouTube. It's kind of unnerving. But anyway.
She won't be talking about this on Get Up in a few minutes. I promise you that.
Happy
Thank
to be
you.
Here.
Thank you, Andrea. She is traveling all the time like many of you. And I would suggest when you are traveling and you're on a business trip, go to La Quinta. You know, sometimes if you don't have the right hotel in the right spot, everything goes completely off the rails. Your routine, right? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups around your room. You run around the block or just skip it entirely. It's lame. If you stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Boy, there is so much hype for this game tonight between the Knicks and the 76ers in Philly. Who's there? More Knicks fans, more Sixers fans. We do know, Smalls, that Tyrese Maxey is going to be there tonight. And yesterday on our show, Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, discussed the new face of the franchise.
I think Tyrese Maxey, not just last night and certainly during the series and, you know, certainly during this year, I think he's the face of the franchise. I don't think it's Joel Embiid. I think Maxey is more reliable. I think you know what you're going to get. As dominant as Embiid can be in games, I think Tyrese Maxey is the face of the franchise. If I'm building a team and as great as Embiid has been, I mean, I'm looking square at my point guard who continuously bailed them out last night. I mean, he bailed that team out and gave them life to why they're playing in game six.
Smalls, that comment made its way all over the internet and all over our airwaves at ESPN, both radio and television. Bobby is a phenomenal NBA analyst who's been around the game forever, who gave an observation and gave an opinion that I, in no way, shape, or form, thought was a hot take. People took it as such. Did you?
No, not at all. He was very measured in what he was saying. I didn't take it as a hot take.
Neither did I. And I don't think it's abnormal or out of the realm of possibility for, at this point, Tyrese Maxey to transition into that guy with Philadelphia. You know, yesterday I kept making the comparison. It feels like Ant-Man when he was given the throne, so to speak, by Karl Anthony Towns. But someone tweeted us at UnsportsESPN, and I should give the person credit. And if we could put that up on the screen, that's my bad. I should have asked for that. I want to give this person credit because it's a great comparison. They said it's like in 2006 when Shaquille O'Neal comes to Miami and he's unbelievable for the Heat. But in the finals, there was kind of the, all right, D-Wade, go to work. And in the final four games of that series against Dallas, Dwayne Wade basically averaged 40 points a game. And it's not that Dwayne Wade could have won it without Shaq. He could not have. There was no way they were going to get to the finals and be the team they were without Shaq. But when it was time to put them over the top, Shaq understood, this is why I came to Miami to play with that guy so he can do this. I think that's what's going on here with Embiid and Maxey. In no way, shape, or form do I think the Philadelphia 76ers are a championship team without Joel Embiid. And they may lose tonight and lose this series in six games. So this may all be for naught. But I think making Maxey the guy gives you a higher ceiling than making the Embiid the guy. The Embiid focal point of the team takes you to the second round. The Maxey as a focal point of the team, we don't know where it takes you, Smalls.
No, and to Bobby's point, Maxey is more reliable simply because Joel Embiid, unfortunately, has such an injury history, especially at this time of the season. But I think that there's two different things that are happening concurrently, Evan. I think we're talking about this passing of the torch in the NBA with these young superstars that are coming into their own, and we're seeing them do so on the playoff stage. And we're talking about the passing of the torch within the NBA. And we want to do that on individual teams. But I don't know if both things can ring true when it comes to Tyrese Maxey. And here's what I mean by that. We're talking about Anthony Edwards, Shea. Tyrese Maxey is certainly in that conversation about these new faces showing what they can do and what they hope to do continuously in the future, in the playoffs, in the NBA. Tyrese Maxey's in that conversation. You actually said before the series that you thought this would be his big playoff coming out party, right?
Yep.
And we are seeing that now. We saw that in the last game. We saw Tyrese Maxey, when Joel Embiid was struggling, put this team on his back, on the road, in New York, at the Garden, and carry his team to a victory. So he's living up to the billing that you set forth for him. But I think it's also important to note that Joel Embiid is seriously compromised in not one, two, but three different ways. He's got the knee. He's got the Bell's palsy on the left side of his face. He had the migraines that he was battling through. And because Tyrese Maxey was able to step up and have this performance, I don't think that we should discount Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is an MVP. He probably would have been again this year if he wasn't injured. And he is the reason why so many people picked the Sixers to even be able to win this series when he came back and they said that he was ready to go. Joel Embiid is one of the best players in the NBA. And just because he's compromised right now and Tyrese Maxey is playing great, I don't think that we should say that the Sixers don't run through Joel Embiid. He still is, to me, the face of the franchise.
All fair. Let me respond to that this way. Let's pretend the Sixers lose tonight. Let's pretend the Sixers have a good offseason, get all-star caliber players with their cap space to surround those two guys. And let's pretend Embiid comes back, and obviously Maxey's going to get extended. As they enter into an 82-game season next year, who's the focal point of that team?
I would still say Embiid.
See, that's where we differ. I would say that they will realize that it's Maxey's team and Embiid is there to be the best Robin we've seen in years, theoretically, in the NBA, that they make that transition. Like, we are at a time in basketball where I believe it's a passing of the torch, changing of the guard type of moment in the NBA right now. With no LeBron in the playoffs, no KD in the playoffs anymore for both those two, no Steph in the playoffs, we're looking at an entirely new look. We are looking at potentially these guys on the backsides of their career, on the outside looking in of title runs, and an entirely new wave of people, maybe led by Ant-Man. And it doesn't mean that LeBron won't be there. It doesn't mean that KD won't be there. It doesn't mean that Steph won't be there. And it may not even mean that they may not win another title, one of those three guys, in a different kind of role. It takes me back, January 20th, 2019, AFC Championship game. New England goes on the road. They beat Kansas City in that game in overtime. That was the passing of the torch. New England won the game. They won the Super Bowl. And Brady won another one after that with Tampa. But at that moment, everyone knew, okay, Mahomes, it's his league. Like, he's going to take over. The NFL found the cleanest way we've ever seen of the passing of the torch. This is not going to be as clean, but I do think we are seeing and witnessing a passing of the torch, not only with the singular team in Philadelphia, but all across the board with the stars that you mentioned previously, Smalls, with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Tyrese Maxey and Anthony Edwards. They're in, LeBron and KD and Steph. It's not that they're out, but they're in a lesser role than some of these other guys. We are in a very unique time right now in the NBA, in my mind.
Right, but...
And somehow I made that about Brady. Go ahead.
Yes, you did, which was very impressive.
Thank you.
I'm never not astounded, Evan, at your way to make it about Belichick, Brady, and or the Heat at all times.
Thank
it
you.
Is impressive.
Thank you.
I don't think in the NFL and what we're seeing in the NBA is so much the passing of the torch, but it was Patrick Mahomes grabbing the torch and taking it and not giving it back. And I think we're seeing that a bit with Anthony Edwards, too. He is playing so well. He's so electric. He's so captivating. He is grabbing the torch. No one's passing it to him. He's taking it. And while Tyrese Maxey is in that conversation about players that are stepping up and becoming the new faces of the league, I don't think he'd be in this position, especially in game five, to do that if Joel Embiid was healthy. I think that because Joel Embiid has been the face of the franchise for so long, has been that MVP caliber player, that so much of what happens in Philly is going to automatically be deferred to him if when he's 100% or healthy as can be.
You're right about that. But again, the ceiling of Embiid has proven to be the second round, right? So if Embiid's 100% healthy, are we sure? Like, the Sixers, I get it. They may lose tonight. I understand that. Or they may lose in a game seven and they may not get out of the first round. But even if Embiid was healthy, so maybe they win in the first round, but are we sure they're going to get out of the second round? Now, I'm the idiot that picked them to go to the finals this year. And obviously that's a bad pick looking back on it. But the reality is they have seen enough over the course of, what, 7 to 10 years with Embiid, whatever it's been, to know this is our ceiling. I think the mystery of whatever the ceiling could be with Maxey, whatever the ceiling can be in Minnesota's case with Ant-Man and not Karl Anthony Towns as the guy, I think that's where I'm talking about, Smalls, as the passing of the torch, changing of the guard. I'm not ignoring the idea of what you're saying, that so much of the ability for Maxey to be the man has to do with having that guy at 7 foot plus, you know, close to 300 pounds next to him as a former MVP. Maxey is not Michael Jordan. He's not Kobe Bryant. He's not LeBron James. He's not carrying a team with significantly lesser players. Can he carry a team with another Hall of Famer next to him? Yeah, I think he can. I think that's what's going on. So I understand why you're taking it the way you're taking it. I just want to be clear. I am not in any way, shape, or form trying to diminish Embiid. What I'm trying to say is they got the most out of Embiid-led teams, and now it is, I believe, in their best interest to do what Bobby Marks said to us yesterday on our show on Sportsmanlike. Go back and listen to the podcast, wherever podcasts are found. That they transition from Embiid to the top guy to the second guy, and Maxey from the second guy to the top guy.
But can you do that with Embiid still on the team? And here's what I mean by that. Karl Anthony Towns said, I'm going to step aside, and Anthony Edwards is now the face of the team.
Yeah.
He has been deferential to Ant because of what Ant has done for this organization. Is Joel Embiid in a place to do that? You almost need the blessing of the current star in order for the new face to be able to ascend in that way.
We're going to find out, right? If Bobby is right and they are going to make this transition to make him the face of the team, we are going to find out. Because as we both well know, in the NBA today, it is a player's league. And if Joel Embiid is uncomfortable in the situation that he's in or looks back, which would be fair, and say, wait a minute, you're going to now make this guy the face of the team. We're going to change the offense where it's going to go through this guy. And I am now like the in the dunker's spot. I'm in the corner. Like, what am I doing? I'm just camped out on the low post if he needs me, which I'm not saying that's going to happen. But like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to go somewhere else. I'll go to the Knicks, who have wanted me for years. I would rather go there. I mean, yeah, we may see that this summer. Like, it's not impossible to think that the Sixers, in my mind, rightfully try to make Embiid into Robin and Maxey into Batman, and Embiid say, no, I'm only going to play Batman. Not going to play Robin. I guess we'll see. All of this could be for naught. They could lose tonight and it's over. But if they win this series and Maxey leads them to three straight wins, it's Maxey's team, whether Embiid likes it or not. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Lectric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man, and I can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Lectric are fast. They're up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or a bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range so you can explore further and longer. Just head on over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This chingy right there, is that what this is? Yeah? Smalls?
What'd you say? I couldn't hear you over the music.
Oh,
I was vibing.
Wow,
was vibing.
Going out to crusty old vet Javante there.
No, I was vibing. Guy. This is chingy. He knows what he's doing, my
St.
Louis brother.
Said. It's chingy right there, right?
Oh, I couldn't hear you. I had my eyes closed. I was vibing. I'm sorry.
Your eyes closed?
Yeah, just like letting the music wash over me.
So is that the move? Like if you're out with friends and you're out, you guys are all dancing or whatever, you have to go eyes closed?
Well, not when you're dancing. No, it's just sometimes when you first hear that note, you're like, oh, yes, you have to just let it hit you, you know?
That is interesting. Does everyone? I think you may be onto something. Do we all actually do that? The first note you hear of a song that you love, it's an involuntary motion of you put your head down, you close your eyes, and your hands go up a little bit, right? Because that is what you just did. You heard a song, and you're just like head down, eyes closed, and I just – I don't know what I just did exactly. But you just – you're like that's what you do. I think
– You do that all the time. I see you in the makeup room.
Really?
Whenever a certain song comes on, you'll go, oh, I love this song.
And my
and
eyes
really
closed?
Move your head. Yeah, and you close your eyes.
You want to know what song does it for me with that?
Always.
This one. It's just
what?
Great. It's just so good.
This is
so
an
good.
Eyes closed song?
Absolutely.
This is not an eyes closed song.
Absolutely. It's so good.
Dancing Queen?
It's so good.
I will say this. We've done this show for, what, 6-7 months? Pat Costello is an onion. Just when I think I have you figured out, Pat, you tell me that you love Dancing Queen.
Just play the beginning again, Javante.
Nobody's saying it's bad. You're just, it's not an eyes closed.
Oh, that first note hits the piano. It's so good.
It's more of a head bobber, I think, because I see, and body bob, like your whole body's kind of shaking around. I see through the glass over here, Rob Lorenzo, our social and digital guy, who is not on camera today. He's bobbing like crazy, like it's for apples over there.
He's loving it too?
He's into it.
It's a hit.
It is a hit, but I don't think it's an eyes closed song. It's not, if I'm at a wedding, I'm going to a wedding on Saturday. Shout out to my cousin Erin and her soon to be husband Mike. I'm going to their wedding on Saturday. If I was on the dance floor at the wedding and this came on, I'm not closing my eyes and dancing on the dance floor. I'm probably going up to the bar. I'm like, oh, this is time to get a new cocktail.
You're
Let's
crazy.
Go.
That's a... No, absolute certified song. Hall of Famer at weddings.
You know, I'm trying to think as to
it's
the number
Shout.
One eyes closed song. One More Chance remix by Biggie. The beginning of that, for people who know that, that is a put your head down, close your eyes, bob your head, and you're just waiting. It's awesome. It is that is a good eyes closed song. I think you'll agree with this. I don't know how quickly we can get that. Oh. Tell me that's not an eyes closed song. Oh. People are actually, God forbid, getting in crashes in the car right now because their eyes are closed.
Now, see, this is when I'd go to the bar to get a drink at the wedding.
What? Small. Well, this probably isn't coming on at the wedding.
Javante had that pretty quick. At my wedding, it would. I think I played that at my wedding. I picked the entire playlist. I didn't let the DJ pick one song.
This is an amazing song. It's not a song I think is really going to light up the dance floor.
But it's a head down, eyes closed, bob your head kind of song, is it not?
Right, but that's not the vibe you want at a wedding, Evan. You don't want everyone standing there bobbing their head with their eyes closed. You want people to be dancing.
Isn't this the viral video where the guy starts dancing and then they remix it? The guy
Look at
the
Pat going for it. Wow.
His eyes are closed. Javante, somebody called in yesterday and said you should win a Grammy for the music you play. Which is more of a head down, eyes closed song? The one that Pat played or the one that I played? Which one?
It's all subjective, but because it's like it depends on what you like.
Yeah,
but,
it's
like,
environmental.
Personally, like obviously I would go with Biggie One More Chance, but like for Pat, he would give Dancing Queen. So like you gotta read the room. You gotta know your audience.
As Canty told us yesterday, it's not all subjective, right? When it comes to music. You have an opinion and it's wrong.
Oh, that's true, Michelle. Did you listen to the Kendrick diss?
Oh, I did. Yeah, so did I.
I did. And there was one line that I kind of gasped. The sexy red comp. Oof.
Oh, yeah. Oh yes.
Oof.
I didn't think it was that good. I gotta be honest with you.
What? Yeah, you're out of your mind.
He made his point. He made his point.
All right, we're on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You could tweet at us at @UnsportsESPN. The song that makes you close your eyes, bob your head. But I'll tell you, shake my head is what I did yesterday with the Phoenix Suns.
Amazing.
If you're not, this almost feels fake what we're about to play here. So James Jones, who I'm a fan of, Suns general manager, he's been very good as the Suns GM. I don't believe some of the moves that he's had to make here recently are only his. I believe the governor of the team, Matt Ishbia, made them. But listen to what James Jones said about Kevin Durant yesterday.
That's a constant focus for us, is to continue to figure out how to maximize Kevin Durant. No one's done it yet. I believe we'll be the first team to do it.
No one's done it yet. We'll be the first team to maximize Kevin Durant. He won 2 titles with the Warriors. He was phenomenal on both ends of the floor. People underrate how great he was defensively with the Warriors. He was 2-time final MVP. He won an MVP in 2014, and he was he's a 14-time All-Star. No one has maximized him yet. No, I think Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Bob Myers running the team. Smalls, they maximize him. That is a version of maximization that very few can ever live up to what he did in Golden State.
If the Suns can somehow find a more maximized version of Kevin Durant than we've seen with Golden State, I can't wait to see it. Get the popcorn ready, because that's a shocking comment to make based on what we've already seen from KD's career, and especially that compared to the version of him that we saw with the Phoenix Suns.
He was basically a 50-40-90 guy in 2017-2018, a year they won the championship, averaging 26.4 points per game, 7 boards, 5 assists.
He was unreal.
He averaged 32 points a game in 81 games for the Thunder in 2013-2014. He hasn't been maximized. And by the way, if you want to say if you're James Jones, hey, we think we can get more, even more out of him because of his greatness, fine. You're actually attacking other teams. Now, here's the other thing. So Matt Ishbia, the majority governor of the Suns, how about what he said? He may have had his head down, eyes closed when he said this about his franchise yesterday.
The narrative around the house is burning, it's incorrect. The Phoenix Suns are doing great. Excellent. Not as good as we want to be, and not as good as we're going to do next year. And that's what we're going to figure out. What do we got to tweak, modify, adjust to win a championship next year?
They're doing great. They're doing excellent.
It's hard, Evan, to take responsibility for something not working out. It's hard to admit failure. And while I appreciate the mentality of we didn't live up to the expectations, we're going to be better next year, I also wouldn't say that the Phoenix Suns are doing great.
They were in the finals prior to his arrival. They blew the team up, and they lost in the first round and got swept this year. That's not great. We're unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.